one of the significant lines from yesterday's gospel. It was the solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. One of the lines in the gospel was important for us in the Anuim life. Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. We would say, pondering them in her heart. So as Mary pondered, she teaches us to ponder in our hearts, and we begin the new year pondering the mysteries of the liturgy and also of the work of God in our own lives, the unfolding of his plan in our own daily life. Part of what we're pondering, or part of our experience, is that it's a little difficult to know what day it is, because Wednesday night seemed like a Saturday night, Thursday seemed like a Sunday, and so that makes today feel like a Monday. When I opened the book there, it was open to Monday. Well, it's not Monday, it's Friday. It's First Friday, as I said. So we're getting back in the swing of things. But there's something good about being thrown off a little, about being a little disoriented. What's good is it recognizes that something extraordinary has happened. That is, the arrival of God in our midst, to the birth of the Word made flesh. It should throw us a bit. We shouldn't be able to simply have our routine, go back to work, go back to school, go back to our routine, as if nothing happened. It should be a little disoriented. Imagine the experience of the shepherds. Angel appears to them, tells them that the Messiah is born, you can find him in Bethlehem. They go there and they see the child. You think they just went back to their routine? Sure, they had to go back to work, but they were a little off balance for a while. I'm sure that's true, and it should be true of us as well. Well, part of getting our balance is understanding where the liturgy is. Christmas has three parts to it. I say this every year. The first part is the octave of Christmas, right? Christmas Day with its many masses, and then the 8 days, which ended yesterday, which is why our Christmas novena ended yesterday. Then there's this period of time between January 1st and Epiphany, which this year is only 2 days, today and tomorrow. And then there's the time between Epiphany and the baptism, so three sections of the Christmas season. We're in the middle section now, very short. We continue to read from the first letter of John. Today's first reading starts out with a line that jumped out at me. Beloved, who is the liar? Last Saturday, I was able to join the Somaskans for their anniversary celebration. They had a big affair for the anniversary of the first arrival of Somaskans in the Philippines. And the Papal Nuncio was there for a big mass in St. Jerome. Anyway, there were many, many priests there. And I know a lot of them because I lived with the Somaskans when I was in the seminary. So I pulled one of them aside. I wanted to go to confession, old friend of mine. So I made my confession. Lying wasn't one of the sins that I didn't have that in my conscience. I don't remember any lies, at least I didn't at the time. So I confessed, and then he gave me some spiritual wisdom. And then he said, so how are you doing? And I said, fine. He said, you're a liar. Just like that. You're a liar. He said, if you're fine, why did you go to confession? Now, he was joking with me, because it's not wrong to say you're fine. But he was trying to make a point, too. Like, you know, let's get past the level of social conventions and deal with the reality of our lives. But he was mostly joking. But it is quite striking when someone says to your face, you're a liar. That's what John says here. Who's the liar? Now, again, I didn't lie when I said I was fine. That's the standard react. That's the standard response, and it's not a lie. Even if you're experiencing some difficulties or pain, you can still say fine, because that's just the beginning. That's just a connecting point in the social interaction. It's like saying hello when you answer the phone. Well, it doesn't really mean anything. It just means here I am, and we're starting the connection. So it doesn't mean I'm fine. But if when the conversation goes further, if you do lie about how you're doing, well, that's lying. I think it's important for us to know what's lying and what's not lying, because he says, who's the liar? Am I the liar? John's point in this reading is not simply about truth-telling in the broad sense, but specifically about the truth of our faith. Because his point is, whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ is a liar. Whoever makes a denial of the faith, whoever stands in opposition to the truth of the Father and the Son, he says this is the Antichrist. This is to stand against Christ. So he's talking about something quite serious here. Not little white lies or big lies. He's talking about a refusal to accept the truth. Most people who do not know Jesus Christ are not the Antichrist. They're just ignorant, for the most part ignorant. Now, it's a little hard to tell how much of it is ignorance, how much of it is pride, how much of it is the work of evil spirits of the Antichrist. We don't know. But it's a serious condition to be in, to not know Jesus Christ, to not know the Father or the Son. But most people are not standing in direct opposition to the truth. They just don't know the truth. That's why we have the responsibility to evangelize, to make the truth known in a way that gets past people's pride and ignorance and touches their heart. But since we're reflecting on lying, I think it's important to recognize that there are various grades of lying, and they're all wrong. Saying you're fine is not a lie, so let's set that one aside. Even though that's what my confessor told me. But whenever we deliberately deceive someone, that's a sin. That's a lie. When we misrepresent the truth in order to deceive. This has been a big controversy in the past year here in the Philippines because of the corruption scandal. When someone says, I really spent 100 million pesos on this project, and they didn't do it, that's a lie. That's a very serious lie. Corruption is built on lying, right? Here's the money I received. Here's what I did with it. If I didn't do with the money what I said I did, well, that's a very serious lie. It's not just an offense against the truth, but it's an offense against the society, the whole community. So that's why it's such a serious controversy in the country. And then the difficult effort to get to the truth is complicated by a multiplication of lies. One person lying about what he did, one person lying about what the other person did, one person lying about what was really in the budget, one person lying about who got the money and where it happened to it, and on and on and on. Very hard to get to the truth. And now with the ease with which people can make fake documents and fake news and even fake interviews because of AI, it gets more and more difficult to get to the truth. In my home state in the United States, there's a similar controversy, a big scandal over fraudulent use of federal money. And so now there's an attempt to try to get to the truth. One of the difficulties is, as soon as you say, oh, so-and-so is guilty of fraud, the political factions get in on it, and then everybody's guilty. Everybody in the other party is guilty. That's how it goes. But the question is always, what's the truth? What's the truth? Here in the first reading, John is establishing Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the truth. So whoever stands against him and whoever denies that he is the truth sent by the Father is anti-Christ, anti-truth. But Christians are called to remain in the truth. This is why he keeps talking about remaining. Once you receive truth, once you know the truth, don't let it go and don't deny it. Don't forget it. Remain. So he keeps talking about remaining. Let what you heard from the beginning remain in you. If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, in other words, the truth of our faith, the truth of Jesus Christ, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. So don't give up. Don't let go of. Don't get distracted from. Don't forget the truth, Jesus Christ. As a witness to the truth, today's gospel presents us once again with John the Baptist. He's the great Advent figure. He's also a great Christmas figure because he testifies to the one who has come. Part of John's greatness is his truth. He always speaks the truth, and his humility, which is connected to truth. You can't speak the truth or accept the truth if you don't have humility. John here, who they suspected might be the Messiah, is asked the questions by the officials, "Who are you?" And the first thing he says is, "I'm not the Messiah." Instead of saying who he is, he makes sure they know who he is not. "I am not the Messiah." It's one of the main points he makes in his preaching. "I am not the Messiah, but the one to come is. The one who I'm preparing the way for is. So don't get distracted by me. Let me become the instrument to prepare you for the one to come." That's John's greatness. He never deviates from the truth. Now, you can imagine, if you want to ponder it a little bit, how it could be tempting, since they thought he was the Messiah anyway, and he could gain a lot of public favor by admitting, "Oh yes, I'm the Messiah." You can imagine how terrible that would be the longer he lived in a lie like that. If anybody lives in a lie, you know how it is. One lie leads to another lie, it leads to another lie, because you have to keep building or defending yourself against the encroachment of truth, and lies multiply. And that's what would have happened if John had said, if they said, "Are you the Christ?" If he said yes, then he would really be in trouble, because he would eventually be exposed as a liar. But until that moment, he'd be lying after lying after lying in order to defend the first lie. So that's what happens with lying. It multiplies until it finally gets exposed. We hope that when it comes to corruption scandals or any kinds of disorder, public disorder, we hope that the truth comes out, it gets exposed. Usually it does eventually. But if it doesn't, for sure it gets exposed in the next life. The truth always comes out eventually, because truth is more powerful than any lie. Truth shines more brightly than any darkness. So the truth always comes out. In the case of John, He is a man of the truth, he's a man of humility, and he's a man of absolute clear testimony. "I'm not the Messiah, I'm not Elijah." It's funny he says, "I'm not Elijah," because Jesus said he was Elijah. But his point is, he's not the person of Elijah, but he is doing the work of Elijah. And he's not the prophet. The prophet is the one who was supposed to take fulfill the role of Moses. So he said, "I'm not any of these things. Who are you then?" "I'm a voice. I'm the voice crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord.'" So listen to the voice, but don't think that the voice is the word. Don't think that the messenger is the message to come. And don't think that the forerunner is the Messiah. He makes that absolutely clear. They ask him about baptism. He again acknowledges what he's doing, but at the same time points to what is much more important. "I baptize you with water, yes, I am doing that. I'm not denying it, but there is one who will come who you don't recognize yet. The one to come is the one you should be preparing for." That's what the baptism is all about. Okay, what do we learn from it? To live by the truth, to remain in the truth, to cling fiercely to the truth, and to live in humility to humbly acknowledge who we are, what we're doing, what God has told us, what God has told us not to do, our strengths, our weaknesses. It's all part of humility, it's all part of truth, so that the truth can be known by others, so that Jesus can be known. An evangelist, which is what we all are, Christians are evangelists, or those who bear testimony to the truth. An evangelist always has to be truthful. Okay, so don't be the liar. Don't be a liar. Fiercely refuse lying and cling with great strength and humility to the truth, Jesus Christ.